welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. Today's message will give you biblical keys on how to see, give, and receive God's grace. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Today, we are starting week 6 of a series called, Help Me, Grace Like a Flood. And man, this series has been just transforming lives all over, starting with mine. And before we get into it this week, man, I just want to thank every person that was here last week. I know a lot of y'all was at the lake, but we had our own pool party last week. We saw 251 people get baptized and come alive. Oh, y'all can do better than that. Glory to God. This is why our church exists, and I want to say thank you to every iServe leader, every volunteer, every person who sacrificed and came. This is why we exist, and I believe that God is doing something special here. It is my honor and pleasure to lead this church. So let's get in the word today. Are y'all ready for the word today? Yeah. So let's start this thing out. And today I want to talk about a topic that a lot of people get caught up on when it comes to this message of grace. Like they hear the first 4 sermon series of this message and they're like, okay, I'm saved by grace, not by works. And once I put my faith in Jesus Christ, like I'm secure, I'm saved, duh, I'm redeemed, duh. Like okay, so can I live any kind of way? And a lot of people like me, when I was trying to manipulate and think and try to make everything that I did okay, we try to twist the word of God to make it fit our opinions and our wants and our desires. And as I answer this question today through the word of God, I want all of us to see and hear that our works do matter. Somebody just say that. My works matter. And so today, I had to go back in my repertoire, and I went to the middle school locker room where I first heard this song by a prophet named Tupac Shakur. And Prophet Tupac, he had a song in 1996 called Only God Can Judge Me. And it's now become a cultural phrase that people usually say when they're doing something wrong and somebody tries to tell them about it or give them better advice, and they'll be like, leave me alone. Only God can judge me. And how many people in the room have ever said, only God can judge me, or thought it or felt it? Okay, and that's most people in the room, because somehow we don't want to be held accountable for our works here on earth. We want to put it off like only God can judge me, and he's not really going to do that. And I really came to let everybody know that the statement shouldn't say only God can judge me. It really should say God will judge me. And that's for every person, believer and unbeliever. That's after we accept the grace of God. And so today, the title of the message is Only God Can Judge Me. And the subtitle is Works After Grace. I want you to open up your heart and really dig deep today. Because the question that you have to ask yourself is, does the way I live even matter? Because a lot of us, we have ways that we act in front of certain people. Y'all know, if your boss comes in, some of y'all get a different accent. You're like, hello, hi, my name is, what? And then your friends come in like, what up, fool? How you doing? And like, we act different for different people we try to put on. But the crazy thing about it is God sees how you really are. And so he sees the motive of the thing. He sees the heart intention of the thing. And so this is the thing that you have to understand. It is not, I didn't say, does the way I act or what I put on, does that matter? Is the what I do, my works, do they matter in the long run? And I want you to hear this very clearly. I'm going to give you the answer to that question. Yes, they matter. Because after grace, after we receive this amazing thing about grace, and if this is your first week in the series, please do me a favor. Go back and watch every other one that we've done. But I'm going to read a summary of how good grace is, and it's found in Romans 5. And we're going to start at verse 20. And I want you to know, if you just want to know how amazing God is, just period, read Romans. That mug will just mess you up. But look at Romans 5:20. It says, God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more and more abundant. That is good news for every single one of us. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace, everybody shout at me, grace.
Grace.
His wonderful grace rules instead. Like, I want you to see there's been a trade. Like, you used to have the law, and that kept you down. And now God said, will you please trade me? Will you please trade me the law for grace? Will you please trade me the yoke, the thing that makes you heavy burden? I want to give you mine because it's easy and light. And that's what this says right here. Give it to me instead. And this is giving us right standing or righteousness with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when we ask the question, does my works or the way that I live matter after I receive grace? I want you to find the answer in Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 1. Look what it says. It says, well then. And I like the thing, well then, because they're talking to Paul right here. And he's being sarcastic because the church had the same questions that we have. Like, this is not a new topic. Like, man, grace is amazing, so we can just do whatever. And Paul's like, man, I done answered this before. So now I'm gonna be a little sarcastic with you, and look what he says in the Bible. He says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? And there's people like you in this room that are like, please say yes, please, please say yes. But look what he says. Of course not. Like, we're not about to play God. Like, we're not about to allow him to shed his grace and send his only son to the cross for us to try to manipulate him to still do what we want to do and serve him wholeheartedly. He said we can't use grace as a way to cheat the system and not surrender and give our lives to God. He said, of course not. He says, since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? This is the real question. Have you died to your sin? Wow. So, because many of us are saying we died to our sin, but we're still living in it every day. How are you dead and alive? Like, how have you gone down and given and identified as many of us did last week through baptism? Remember, it was a symbol of our old nature going down and being and buried with Christ and coming alive anew and afresh. You can't be both dead and alive in the same thing. So I can't be dead to lust, but alive in it. I can't be dead to gossip and alive in. Oh, come on, y'all. I need you to help me in this place. You cannot be dead to comparison, but yet be alive in it. And God is saying that his grace has been extended so you can die to the old way of doing it. And you can become alive and empowered by the Holy Spirit in a brand new way of doing it. And this is what I really come down to when I think of this, because I'm talking to you about my struggles. Like this is not a message that Pastor Mike is coming at you. I have had to deal with this message in my own life for the past 3 years. Because God will come to me and I'll get angry about something. He said, you still alive in anger. You didn't die to that yet. You got to bring that back to me, and we got to crucify this thing. We got to kill this thing. But a lot of us act, no, we're good. We're okay. And what we think is we can be Christian zombies. The walking dead. That's an oxymoron. You can't be alive and dead. That's why zombies actually are fictional. They're not real, because you can't walk and be dead. And what we have in church is a lot of the walking dead. We have a lot of people who say they are, oh, come on, I feel this thing. We have a lot of people that are saying they're dead to a sin, but they're still walking in it. And God says, can we please put to rest? Can we please kill those things? Can you please really identify with me and what I did on cross and the salvation and the healing and the blessing and the forgiveness that I've provided for you? And could you please start living in me? So this is what I'm saying. The grace of God is not a way for us to keep living in our old life. It is a brand new life in Christ. And so when we look at this, we have to understand And we have to acknowledge honestly, who's our master? Like that's really the telltale sign of, are we really walking in grace and being empowered? Are we still a slave to our sin nature? Romans 6:16 says, you are slaves of the one you obey. Now, I want you to hear me, because a lot of people say, Pastor Mike, I ain't slaves to nothing. I ain't slaves to, but you're a slave to food, because it can get you out of bed at 2 a.m. in the morning. And come on, y'all, don't act like that. And get you out of bed at 2 a.m. in the morning and have you at a 24-hour restaurant buying something you know you don't need, it's going to give you gas tomorrow and rob you of sleep, and you got to get up at 6 a.m. You're still a slave to whoever you obey. So my question is not, what are you a slave to? My question is, who are you obeying? See, because when you ask yourself that question, you reverse engineer it and you find out what you're a slave to. Some of us are a slave to social media because we obey it. Some of us, come on, y'all. Some of us are a slave to our job because we will do whatever will get us further in the job, but we'll lose our family over it. We're obeying things that do not have our best interest. And God said, that's why I sent grace. So you no longer had to be bound or slaves or in chains to things that don't have your best interest at heart. So what he's saying to you is, who's your master? So just go ahead and ask your neighbor right now, who's your master? Come on, just ask him. Ask one more neighbor, say, who's your master? Yeah. And this is the thing that you have to understand, is that your works and the way you live matters, and that's why it matters who your master is, because the only master you should have is the Lord. And when the Lord is your master, when he tells you to do certain things, you know that there's no ulterior motives in it. He's already got skin in the game. Literally, his son died for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've been with these jokes the past few weeks. Ta-ta, psh. Anyway, but what I'm saying is, I want you to go to Romans 6:12. Because more than me just telling you what are you a slave to, let me give you some instructions of how to live. Because I think that will help you understand that your works matter. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body, this always convicts me, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, everybody say instead. Give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right. Everybody say, what is right? What is right? Do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. I came to tell you that if you believe in Jesus Christ, sin is no longer your master. Somebody should get excited about that right now. Because you used to have to do what your flesh told you. You used to have to give in to fear and shame and insecurity. But I'm here to tell you through the power of Jesus Christ that sin is no longer your master. I dare you to give God some praise for that. Hallelujah. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, everybody say instead. I love that we serve an instead God. Like I remember one time in high school that our school lunch wasn't that good. And so we made a petition and they started bringing in Mazzio's pizza. And they said, you can have this lunch, or instead, you can have Mazzio. We were shouting in the lunchroom because we had a better option available to us. What I'm trying to tell you is, no matter what you're living in, no matter what's going on in your heart, you have an instead God. And he's saying, if you're in shame right now, instead of shame, I'll give you joy. Instead of pain, I'll give you healing. Instead of hurt, I'll give you hope. And this is what God is saying, and he's summing it up in the word where he says, instead of the law, I'm giving you the freedom of grace. This is why you have to understand it's so powerful for us to get this message of grace like a flood, because it's not more chains, it's finally freedom. Most people think about this Christian walk as like, well, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do that. All that you were doing was leading you to a place that was hurting you. When you receive the grace of God for the first time in your life, you can really know what it means to be free. I used to lie all the time. Do you know how stressful it is to keep up with your own lies? Do you know how many mental gymnastics, some of y'all in here lying right now, and you know, you just stress, you're like, my God. I'm telling you right now, it's hard to do that. When I started telling the truth, I got free for the first time. I didn't have to remember what I told you compared to what I told them to compare to what I text you. And like, I was free. Like, yeah, I was there. I was there. I was there. I was there. Like, I told the truth. And that's what grace does for you. It allows you to be free from the things that tried to control you. And that's good news. Look at Ephesians 2 and 8. I told you today is going to be a lot of scripture. It says, for by grace we have been saved. That's past tense. Remember that. We have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Get this. Why was I created in Christ Jesus? Why was I put here? Check it out. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So there are good works that God has prepared for you already before you even accepted him. He was just hoping and praying that one day you would receive the message of grace, because he has a whole plan for your life of good works that he wants you to do. He wants you to touch the educational system. He wants you to go into the governmental system. He wants you to help special needs children. He wants you to touch those. He has good works prepared for you after you come into the knowing of his grace. So you don't get saved just so that you can make it out of hell. You get saved by grace for good works. You need to write that down right now. Somebody just needs to say, we are saved by grace for good work. That's why God is trying to chase you down. Not to punish you, to get you into purpose. Because when you accept the grace of God, then you get to do what you were created to do. You were saved by grace for good works. And when you learn that, then you stop being concerned about heaven and hell, because you know that your destiny and your eternity is settled. Now it's, what do I do on this earth? How do I make a difference? How do I bring heaven to earth? And God said, that's my plan for every one of my children, is that you would be saved by grace. Everybody say for. Good works. That's the prepositions there, by and for. And once you realize that, it changes you. That's why the scripture said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. See, the reason that God says he's a new creature is because as a new creature, you get new sets of orders. Like God, there's certain things God can't even tell you right now when you're outside of his will and you don't receive his grace, because you don't even know how to process them. You're still worried, is this sin? Is this not? And God said, will you please stop living on the first level of relationship with me? Knowing where your eternity is spent is literally the entry level of a relationship with God. And what God is saying is, I want to take you to other levels. I've made you new, so now you can get new assignments, and they are all good works. And that's why you say, Pastor Mike, do my works matter? Yes, because all God wants you to do after you receive and you believe is carry out the good works. Look what it said, that he already has prepared for you. And the sad truth about this church, and this breaks my heart, is most people never get to one good work that God called them to do. We're trying to make money. We're trying to get this paper. We want to have all this other. And God said, listen, if you seek first my kingdom and right standing with me, all that stuff you're talking about, I got that. But I'm just trying to get you to get in the place where I can use you to do my good works. Everybody say good works. Good works. It's time. And I'm going to make a very simple statement, but a profound statement. Good works are good. the reason they're called good works is because God meant for them to be good. It's good to do good works. Like, I want everybody to see that. And once you receive that you are saved by grace for good works, it changes why I wake up in the morning. I don't wake up trying to prove to God that I'm good enough to make it to heaven. I wake up with a new assignment. Oh, here's today, and I have been called by God, redeemed, saved. I am right. I am forgiven. And now it's time to go do good work. That's why I get up. That's why I love my wife. That's why I help the homeless person. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? It's because that's what I have been given as a believer after I receive the message of grace. So your works do matter. Somebody just say that. My works do matter. So okay, Pastor Mike, my works matter. I'm saved by grace for good works. Is that it? Well, I feel like it's my responsibility as your leader and your pastor to let you know that your works will be judged. And see, this is the stuff nobody likes to talk about, and this is the place where, like, now you got to use the bathroom and you want to leave. Well, no, stay here. What I'm saying to you is, if I don't tell you this, a lot of times you live with a certain notion that, like, as long as I do enough good works, everything should be fine. But every one of your works will be judged. And so when we go back to that statement, only God can judge me, Pastor Mike. I'm going to do me, you do you, and only God can judge me. Can I amend that statement for you? It's not only God can judge you, God will judge you. Amen. Like, and I want everybody to know that. Change it. Like, not just God can, but he will. Matter of fact, he's going to. And that's for every believer and every unbeliever. I want you to see this in the word, because a lot of people, they get it mixed up, and they don't understand the difference between two words. They don't understand the difference between behavior and belief. See, if you get the understanding between these two words, it changes everything in your life. And let me just go ahead and say it to you how it's supposed to be said, because I don't want nobody to miss this, okay? Your behavior determines how you will spend eternity, but your belief determines where you will spend your eternity. Hear me. So when you believe in Jesus, then there's only two options. You either are going to heaven or hell. So when you believe, people do not go to hell because of sin. They go to hell because of unbelief. I've said it every sermon in this series. So when you believe, now you know where you're going to spend eternity. But how you will spend eternity is determined by how you behave. So your works determine how you will spend the rest of your life. And some of y'all are like, I don't even really believe that. Okay, let's go to the word. And I want everybody to look at scripture, because I hear those people, only God can judge me. Okay, let's talk about it. Ecclesiastes 12:14. For God will bring He said every work into judgment, including every secret thing. Oh, shoot, some of y'all just got found out. he said every secret thing, whether it's good or evil. Look at Revelations 20:13. And this is to lost people, because I want to talk to people who have not believed yet. And let me tell you what the Bible says about this. It says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and the death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his what? Works. Okay, let me talk to the saved people, because you felt good because I was talking to the lost people. Let me talk to you right now. Believers, 1 Peter 1:17. And if you call on the Father, how many people in this room, by show of hands, call on the Father? Okay? Okay. If you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Yikes. I love how it says your stay here. Like we're not from this world. Like, this is a temporary passing through. Like, this is practice for something better. God is saying how you live now is in your time here is going to be judged for what's going to happen in eternity. Can I help you? This is dress rehearsal. This is not even the show. And people are living life like this is dun da da da. We are in practice right now. And God's saying, get it right in practice, because you will perform how you practice. What you do here on earth will affect how you will spend eternity. And you have to know that your works matter. And it's not only God can judge you, God will judge you. I just told you that for lost people and found people, so we're back at even playing field. No, nobody gets out of this. And my prayer for you is that you would believe. And I want to go to another one. Go to Matthew 16:27. It says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Revelation 22:12, it says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. He got a fanny pack of rewards, y'all, to give to everyone according to his works. Y'all, your works matter. How you treat people matters. How you care about people matters. How you carry out what God has called you to do matters. How you text people matters. How you treat customer service people on the phone matters. Some of y'all so ugly. Can I talk to your manager? Baby, that matters. God's saying, just because they can't see your face, God sees your works. Just because you can't be identified, God's saying, I'm seeing your heart intent. What if I meant for you to get on this phone call and be a seed or a waterer to something I'm trying to do in their life? God is saying, your works matter. Yes, amen. And again, that's the difference between belief and behavior. And God wants you to believe in him so that you can be in heaven, but he wants you to behave like him. So you can represent him here on earth. Yes. Like, that's why our church exists. That's why we let anybody from any walks of life and any lifestyle come in here, and you can be long before you behave, because that's what Jesus did. They were always mad at him because he was always with the people he wasn't supposed to be with. But he knew he was on assignment. He was doing good works. Zacchaeus would have never been saved because nobody was going to eat at his house. And he comes into town and he looks up in the tree and says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to eat at your house. That's what he does. And by the end of that story, Zacchaeus, spending time in relationship with somebody who was knowing what their purpose was, not to just see what sin was, but to do good works, extended the grace of God to Zacchaeus. And by the end of dinner, he repented of his sin, gave his life to Christ, and said he would pay everybody back that he stole from. What I'm telling you is that is who we are called to be as believers, as ones who are saved by grace for good works. I don't want you to ever miss this. How you live matters. How we spend our time matters. Who we invest into matters. Yes, you've been saved by grace, but now it's time to saddle up to do good works. And when you receive this, it changes everything in your life. Why do I get up? Why do I pray? Why do I give? Not because I'm scared of hell. It's because I know what I'm purposed to do. I'm purposed to do good works. Somebody have been asking, like, what's God's will for my life? To do good works. Like he, you're saved by grace to do good works. Yes. And I'm telling you, all of your works will be judged. And some of you are like, okay, why are these two big chairs on the platform this whole time? Because this is an FYI moment for you. Okay. Because as I start to study the word, you know them places in the Bible you just skip because you don't understand? Like you start reading and they get too many big words and be like, yeah, let's go back to Matthew 1. Like there was some stuff in the Bible that I skipped because I didn't understand it. But I've studied it out, and my job is to try to deliver it to you in a way that you can understand it. There are going to be two judgment thrones for every believer and every person that doesn't believe after we die. There's two. There's the judgment seat of Christ, and then there's the great white throne of judgment. And let me help you. Every person who believes in Jesus Christ will have their works judged at the throne of Jesus Christ. Okay? Everybody who does not believe will have a judgment as well. and it will happen at the great white throne judgment. And this is important to know, that you cannot determine which judgment you go to after you die. The only time you can determine which throne or judgment you will go to is by what you believe while you're here on earth. You don't get to die and be like, hold on, I need to believe now. And like, no. Like, what you believe. And remember, I don't want anybody to twist my words. We are saved by grace. That's our belief. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to this judgment. This is the judgment you're going to go to. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you are going to this judgment, the great white throne judgment. There are judgments for everybody, and everybody's going. But the thing that determines how you will be judged are your works. And I want everybody to see this. Let's talk about the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one, I love how it keeps saying each, because there are couples and boyfriends and girlfriends and besties that feel like their good works together will make some really good works, and that God's going to bring them in together. But Michael has to go before God by himself. Me and Natalie don't get to go to God together. We don't get to come to this throne and say, God, look at all the great things we did. He said, Michael, I have all your stuff on a reel. Could you start that up? And then I'm going to be sitting there like, oh, God. Oh, my God. I did do that. By myself. Yeah. Everybody say each.
Each.
It says each one may receive the things done in the body while we are here, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So I want you to see that you're going to heaven if you believe, but all of your works will be judged no matter what you do, good or bad. See, this is stuff we don't get taught. Romans 14:10. But why do you judge your brother? So it's saying, like, you need to stop really worrying about anybody else. Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is what will happen at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God, which has been given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. This is Paul talking, and another builds on it. And that's talking about all of us. So the message of Jesus Christ is the foundation, and everybody else, we believe on it, okay? It says, but let each one take heed to how he builds on it. Like, you believed in Jesus, but what are the good works or the bad works you do? How are you building on this tag or this badge of being a Christ follower? Look what it says. It says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. They're building on Jesus Christ. They are believers, okay? Now, if anyone builds on the foundation of Jesus with gold, silver, or precious stones, now watch these next three, okay? Or wood, hay, and straw. Why is that important? Because wood, hay, and straw are all flammable. And judgment happens where God is going to test all of our works by fire. And what is eternal will last. What is temporal and not of God will burn up. Look, verse 13. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive rewards. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. So he will lose his reward, but not his salvation. Look, I want everybody to say, it's very clear, but he himself will be saved. Yet, so as through fire. This is what I'm trying to tell you, because we are saved by grace, but we're saved for good works. When we are saved, but we don't do good works, those things make us, or they get burnt up at this judgment seat, and we lose. This is what I'm telling you. All the time you spend on things that aren't building people, when you stand before God, you'll lose it anyway. And so you lose your reward with it. And God said, you're not going to hell. You shall be saved. You're there. But you won't have any rewards in this next life. Wow. And the only way you can determine your rewards is how you live here on earth. Why are you saying this, Pastor Mike? Because how you treat your cousin matters. How you treat your boss matters. There will be rewards in heaven for you being one who does good works. And it's not your salvation that's at stake, but it's your rank, your reward, your responsibility in heaven. And I don't think people understand this. I think they think that when we go to heaven, it's just us floating on clouds singing holy, holy, holy all the time. The Bible tells us it's a new heaven and a new earth. It's this, but perfect, without sin. And so somebody's going to have responsibility in heaven. Somebody's going to be able to help people move from place to place. And we act like it's just like, we just hear now, and God's saying, no, store up for yourselves treasure. And y'all don't read the word. Store up for yourself. He's saying how you store up treasure is by the works you do here on earth. And that's why your works matter. Somebody say, my works matter. This is the thing. You got to understand the difference between eternal works and temporal works. A lot of things that I've spent most of my life doing have been temporal works. Things that won't last. I mean, I've spent hours confession on an Instagram post before. And it's gone in 24 hours if I put it on Insta story, gone, just by. And as you think about it in the light of eternity, like, would those 5 hours been spent better investing into somebody and speaking life into somebody or helping somebody else or the likes that somebody gives me? Do y'all hear what I'm saying? All I'm asking you to do is what you're doing eternal or is what you're doing temporal? Because if you do eternal things, that right there becomes good works that turn into treasure in heaven. If you're doing temporal, you will stand before this throne if you're a believer and you'll see him go up in flames. Wow. Just think about how much money we spend on things that aren't eternal. You get no credit for being fly in heaven. None. Like you don't get to come and be like, but God, look at your boy. None of that. Like, it literally burns up. But for every dollar you send to a missions organization or you're tithing and you're spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ or you're helping a single mother in need who's a widow, like those things, your money turns into treasure in heaven. And church, until we get this, we keep living with this. I can live any kind of way. I'm saved. I'm going to make it to heaven. And God says it's going to be real disappointing when you get there and you think like, somebody should have told me. Somebody should have told me that I could have gone further. I could have done more. I could have helped more people. I could have. And so this is why I told you this is an FYI message. I'm not trying to condemn anybody or give anything. What I'm trying to say is because God's grace has been extended so beautifully that your works now become what God uses to bless other people on this earth. And if you didn't think that your works matter, after today, I want you to know that not just only God can judge you, God will judge you, but you have nothing to be afraid of when you stand and know that I was saved by grace for good works. Now I have to do this because I have to talk to people who aren't abiding. And that's what John 2:28 tells us to abide. It says, and now little children, abide in him that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. What? Like, why would a believer be ashamed when Jesus comes back? Oh, simple. We wasted our time here not doing good works. You understand, like, we never took the step to start serving. We never took the challenge to tithe. We never, ever shared. We didn't come to church consistently. We never took the challenge to read our word. We never loved our kids with the love of God. We just punished them because that's what happened to us. We never started moving into good works. And then it's like, time's up. And then we're like, oh, no, I'm ashamed because I had this life and I didn't use it for good works. And I don't want any believer hearing this message right here to ever be afraid that Jesus is coming back. You should be excited because you're using every day that you have to help advance the kingdom of God, and you are here for good works. I have to tell this little story that I remember being in elementary school, and every year they would have this awards assembly at the end of the year. And I loved the awards assembly when it started, but I hated it midway through because I didn't get nothing. And I always remember thinking, like, why didn't they tell us at the beginning of the year that they were going to do this awards assembly? Because I would have acted better. I wouldn't have goofed off so much. I would have actually turned my homework in on time. But I'm sitting there just, and they always calling some foreign student Munir Kuzbari and Ying Meng Yao. And they keep going up to the front and they get all the awards. And I'm sitting there and my family in the back and my dad recording. And I'm like, turn it off, daddy. They not calling me. Like, nothing's going to happen. And I'm sitting there and we get to the end. Now watch. I went to the next grade, but I had no reward. There are many believers that are going to make it to heaven, but because of the way they live their life, they will have no reward. And we will stand and clap and cheer for everybody else. But God said, I want you to have reward. So during this time on life, I don't want you to just use your time, energy, effort, and treasure to do frivolous things. I want you to do eternal things. I want you to help serve somebody. I want you to share somebody the love of Christ with somebody. I want you to be my hands and feet. And I want you to do good works because your good works matter. So I have to do it. I have to talk about the great white throne judgment, because there may be some people in here that aren't believers. And if you're here, we're so glad you're here. And again, this is the FYI moment, so I'm just letting you know that if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to get a judgment too. But it's going to be at the great white throne judgment. And this is for every unbeliever. And I'm going to tell you where theologians get this from. Look at Revelation 20:11. And then I saw a great white throne. So that's where they got it from. And it says, and in him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for him. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Watch this. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. So I want you to see this right here. This is the difference between belief and behavior. There were books open and there was a book open. The book was the Lamb's book of life. So if you believe, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. But there are other books that are recording our works. And this is how we will be judged. It says, and the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and the death and Hades, which is Greek for hell, delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't know if you know this, but just like there are degrees of rewards in heaven, there are degrees of punishment in hell. Like God's a just God. He's not doing this thing to make somebody who's done their works and done a lot worse works and good works and all. It's not on the same level. And I just want you to hear this, the same way that there's rewards for our good works, that there are punishments for our bad works if we don't believe. Look at Matthew 11:20. This is Jesus talking. And it says, then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And these cities were known for tormenting prophets and idol worship. And he's telling these people, but I say to you, it will be more tolerable. And the Greek word means less suffering for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. This is Jesus talking, and he knows what he's talking about. He said, and you, Capernaum, who are excited and exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom. Y'all remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Like, God had to start over again because there was so much perversion going on right there. He said it would have remained until today. He's saying that if they would have seen the miracles and heard the word that you heard, it would have not even been destroyed. It says, but I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Let me help you understand this. If you look at a map, because I had to go study it out, there's a triangle between Chorazin, Capernaum, and Bethsaida. And theologians, they call it the evangelical triangle because that's where Jesus did most of his ministry. And he said, basically, in paraphrase, y'all seen God work miracles. Y'all live in the buckle of the Bible Belt. Some of the greatest ministries have been raised right here. There's an evangelical church on every corner, if not two of them, on every corner where we live. Yeah. And he said, and if people who are in third world countries and persecuted churches and underground churches, if they would have seen the miracles that you've seen, if they would have had the access to the things that you had, they would have repented and turned to God by now. But woe to you, because you've seen God. You've had an encounter with him. You've had ability to look up five different messages on whatever you wanted to at the drop of a dime, and you still don't believe. He said, it will be more tolerable for these people who don't have running water and don't believe than it will be for you. Why are you telling us that, Pastor Mike? Because I feel like you just need to know that there's levels to this thing. And what God wants you to do is not manipulate the system, because I see what some of you are thinking. Okay, cool. So I'm going to believe, but I'm just going to live however I want to live. Like I'm just going to believe. But remember, God searches the heart. So you can't manipulate him. That means you really aren't saved, because you haven't believed. If you're still the one controlling your life, you have not given lordship and taken it out of your account and given it to him. If you still have to party every weekend when God told you to stop, he's not Lord. You are. And until he is Lord and Savior, you have not truly received grace like a flood. Church, I just want you to get this. And I don't want us to live in deception another day. Every person will be judged. Both people sitting next to you and the people behind you. Everybody getting judged. The question is, which judgment are you RSVPing to? Are you going to believe? And are you going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, where all believers will be? Or are you going to RSVP to the white throne judgment, where all unbelievers will be? And then maybe a further question is, what type of rewards and responsibilities and treasures will you have stored up when you get there? Because your works do matter. Amen. And so when people say, only God can judge me now, I say, yeah, it's the truth. And he will. Yes. That's for believers and non-believers. So my admonishment, my prayer, what I would literally give anything for is that every person hearing my voice would never go to the great white throne judgment and would put their faith in Jesus Christ. And from that moment, grace like a flood comes in your life. But then you take it up a notch and you say, you know what I'm going to do from here on? It's good works. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give. I'm going to love. I'm going to help. I'm going to change. I'm going to dial back my attitude, and I'm going to say stuff like this: less of me and more of you. And when we get that understanding, everything changes. And can I tell you a little secret that I wasn't happy to share? That there are some believers they'll even be a stricter judgment for. And many of you don't know this, but it's going to be a stricter judgment for people like me. People who teach the word of God. That's why I don't come up here and just say whatever. Like, I'm doing my best up here today. These are huge theological principles that I'm teaching you to you right now. And I'm asking the Lord to guard my mouth, and because I get judged on what I tell you to do. Look what it says in James 3:1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. That's why when I stand up here, this is not about me. This is about me doing good works. I am doing what God has called me to do, to inspire you to do what God has called you to do. And if we could ever start doing what God has called all of us to do, then we get to see heaven come to earth. So Pastor Mike, what's the end of this? I don't want you to ever forget that you have been saved by grace for good works.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or our website at transformchurch.us/give. And don't forget to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this one. Now go and live a transformed life.